So the name of the lesson is Run Toward Holiness. So it's the last lesson in your book. And it's in Hebrew. So what did you get out of it?
Well, I got that it's a chapter of encouragement. It encourages believers to stand in their faith and keep your focus upon Jesus. Don't just lay aside your sins, but lay aside your burdens, your distractions, anything that would hinder your obedience to Him and your spiritual maturity. He already endured everything that we would ever endure, so that should help us to believe and never give up. We go through everything that we go through so that He will spiritually mature and be holy like He is holy. He knows the sins we'll be tempted with before we even do it, so we need to persevere and turn aside from all temptations. He is our faith, so we must continue to look toward Him and let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us.
You know, God, He don't punish His children, but He disciplines them, and He disciplines them in a way that they'll grow and mature.
Yep. So you're right. If we're going to run towards holiness, then we have to get rid of everything else that keeps us from doing that. But so that means we have to evaluate our life and make sure that whatever our priorities are that they align with God's will for our life. So we got to have a willingness to let go of everything in our life that hinders our relationship with God. So you mentioned being encouraged. It's a chapter of encouragement. Why do we have to be encouraged to do this?
Well, Satan's constantly after us, and we're always being, he's trying to pull us towards Him, so we're always encouraged by the Holy Spirit to follow Him. Let Him lead us and guide us.
Yeah, he knows that if we're not running towards it, we're doing what? We're running away from it. And God knows that that's our temporary means of escape when we're running away from the holiness. So a lot of people run away from it. So we could take this morning, that all the churches around that their attendance that might be low, those are people that are running away because they're running towards something temporary when they should be running towards what God has in store for us in our life. So, and the only way we can run towards it is if we allow the Holy Spirit. We have to recognize that conviction of the Holy Spirit that we're to be dependent upon Christ. If we're not dependent upon Christ, we don't understand our purpose here on earth. Therefore, we spend more time running after the things in the world than we do after the things that God has in store for us in our life. So there has to be a lot of prayer. There has to be a lot of study of God's Word. We have to learn to be obedient. The Bible says we've got to seek after wisdom. We have to seek after knowledge. We have to pray for understanding, because all of this changes how we think. So if Satan can put thoughts in our head that changes how we think, then now we're following after things of the world and not after things of God. So, and it could be anything. It could be anything to waking up with a cold and allowing that thought process to keep you from doing what God wants you to do, to something more severe or major. It can be anything that clouds our judgment, any situation or circumstance in our life. So we read the Word of God to be encouraged. Now, so if people don't read and study the Word of God, then there's no encouragement to do what God wants them to do. So therefore, it's a lot easier to run away from the holiness of God, then run towards it. So God's word is one of the things that encourages us to run toward Him. Doesn't matter what we're going through, what situation, what circumstance, what condition our life is in, we're still encouraged to run towards God or towards His encouragement, because He is the only one that can give us understanding and help us in our time of need. So we see this all throughout the Bible. If you go back in the book of Proverbs chapter 18 verse 10, he says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it, and when they do, then they are safe. But you notice he said that it's the righteous that run unto it. Now, what he's talking about is those, in our time, it would mean those who are saved, because now we have the righteousness of Christ in our life. So that means that we make these intentional choices. We'll put it that way. We make these intentional choices because now we're willing to trust wholly and completely in God. You know, a lot of people run to God unintentionally, which means that they only run to God when something's wrong in their life. So it's not a willing or an intentional choice. It's a, well, I better do this because here's what's happening in my life. So
realize it would be easier for them to turn to God than think that way and have the guilty conscience on the
table. You would think so. Yeah, you would think it would just be better to be there all the time than to... Yeah. So...
And verse 11 just tells completely the opposite of that. I thought them two verses go together.
Don't yeah. They? Where it says the rich man's wealth is strong... And as a high wall in his own conceit. So yeah, if you're not running towards God, then he says you're building a wall up between you and God. So so for those, you know, for those who are saved, our faith should always be in Christ, but it's not always in Christ. But if those who are righteous, our confidence should be that we should always be running towards Christ because we know that's where we're safe. But the world gives us so many other things to run toward that we don't always run towards Christ. So that's just, when we're running towards Christ, then we're running away from our enemies of the world or in the world. Because that's where we're safe, but we don't always do that in our life. We don't always run towards Christ. So in Hebrews, we'll read the first couple verses. It's really familiar verses. So he says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, a lot of people read that, and a lot of believers will read that and said, well, it says, let us lay the sin that does so easily beset us. Well, we're saved, so we don't have sin that easily besets us, but we do. We just don't want to admit it. That's why he puts it in that manner. So he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So when he talks about these things, this is meant for the believer. So we do have he says we do have these things. He says, lay aside every weight and the sin which that does so easily beset us. So a lot of times I think when people think about sin, they think of the worst thing that can be in their life. But any numerous things can be sin. We talked about that a little bit in Bible study, our eating habits, our shopping habits, our, I mean, any little tiny thing could be the sin or the weight that does so easily beset us, because we're turning to those things instead of turning to God.
You know, actually, you could go back and start in chapter 10 and read through here, and it'll tell you that it all talks about the same thing, and it gives you all the examples. And all those, was Hebrews.
Oh, what?
All the people, the examples that the chapters give you.
Oh, yeah.
All Hebrews.
Yeah.
I didn't pay any attention to that until I was studying.
Yeah, and the reason he shows us that is because we have a tendency to look to other people for an example or listen to what they say. But the greatest example that we have in the Word of God, the greatest example that we have to run towards holiness is what? Is who? It's Christ himself. So that's where our motivation should come from, because it's, and he gives you that in verse 2. He says, we look unto Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, because all the things that he went through, it said he counted them for joy, he despised all of the shame, and now he said he is sitting down at the right hand of the Father. So that's the greatest example that we can have. So, and he shows us that he went through all this because he was obedient to what the Father had for him to do. So he was obedient through suffering. He was obedient through every task, everything that was set before him. So that means this should encourage us to endure, not just to endure the things that we go through, the hardships in our life, but it should motivate us to keep going, not to just, you know, sit down and give up while these things are happening in our life, which most people do.
And we should realize, but we don't at times, I know, but we should realize, stop to think that Christ already, whatever we're going through, he already suffered and went through it on the cross.
Sure.
For us.
Right. But you still have a lot of people today that when they go through something, nobody's ever went through this before, and it's the worst that it can be. It can be. So, and I think about that when people are talking about all these things, and, you know, it's just because now we've turned and we're running towards the world, and this is what the world wants us to think or to see. Sure. So God wants us to draw our strength by looking unto Christ. So when something like this comes up in our life, do we get the Bible out and do we begin to read or to study? Or I know when I go visit people in the hospital and they say they're believers or they've been saved, and let's just say they're going to be in there for a week, and I'll say, well, you know, it's a good time. You can bring your Bible and study it. Oh, I can't do that in here. That's just no place to do. So you see, we have opportunity, but we don't take advantage of those opportunities. So, and that's because instead of turning towards or looking towards Christ for our strength, we're feeling sorry for ourselves, or we're paying attention to the world, those things that hinder our relationship with God. So this is what he's talking about here. We do this. Christ didn't do this. In verse 2, he tells you, Christ went through all these things, but yet it didn't hinder his relationship with the Father. He continued to look to the Father for his his strength, for his guidance, for everything. And now he is sitting with the Father at the right hand of the throne of God. So the next couple verses, it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." This is what Dad was talking about. So he said, "Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, then God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then," he said, "you are bastards and not sons," meaning you're not in the family. You're God created you, but you have not accepted yet to be a part of that spiritual family. So that's one of the things that the Bible talks to us so much about, because God knows that every little thing that we go through here upon this earth is going to wear us down, is going to take its toll not only on our physical life, but on our spiritual life. And you hear it every day. You people, "I've just went through so much the last couple of days, I just can't go on." Or you hear this every day. Well, as a believer, we shouldn't say that, because we shouldn't have to say that. Because we're encouraged to look towards God so that we don't grow weary in our service to God. Now, you still might be tired physically, but spiritually we should still be alive in Christ. So, and he gives us the power to continue on in our life. And we find this through the truth of God's word. But most people try to find it now through the truth of the internet, let's say the social media or the news or whatever it is that's going on around them. But so this is what wearies us in our minds. So we have to find this through the truth of God's word. So there comes a time in our life that we need to put away all the things, the electronic device and all that, and we need to go to the truth of God's word, and we need to get our encouragement from there, because it's only through Christ's example that this is how we gain strength. This is how our life is motivated. This is how we see the perspective of what God wants us to do in our life, the things that he wants us to understand. So most people don't, the struggles overcome them because they never see the reality of the struggle.
You know, it's not just for our benefit and our spiritual growth. We've got people watching us.
Right.
And listening to us, and we can hinder their salvation or their spiritual.
Sure. Sure, people see how you react to the things that you're going through, and they think, well, it must be okay because they fell apart. But, you know, most people, that reaction is a reaction. It's probably a reaction for help, but it turns into self-pity. So that's what we have to, see. That's why I say we have to understand the reality of what's happening in our life. Most people don't understand the reality of what's happening. They just feel the effects, and they're suffering through it. But there is a reality for it. There is a reason why we're going through it. Most of the time, the reason's our own fault. It's our own fault. But we don't want to see that. That's for sure. But God wants us to see the reality of that, because whether it's our own fault or whether it's something, trial or tribulation or something that we're going through, it's an opportunity to shape us in and to be more like Christ, to into the image of His Son. So it's when we look at the chastisement, and this is what it's talking about as you read down through these verses. It's a spiritual chastisement. It's not something that was meant for say wrath and punishment and condemnation, but it's a spiritual chastisement that wasn't meant to destroy us, but it was meant to build us up and to bring us closer to the Lord. Now, if we choose not to allow that to happen in our life, then we're not running towards holiness, we're running away from it.
And a lot of believers don't get that.
Huh?
A lot of believers don't get
that. Sure, the sinner's never going to get it. And that's because, like you said, a lot of times they're looking at the believer and the believer's not getting it. So they figure, well, if it's okay for them to run the other way, then it surely must be okay for us to run the other way. But we got to understand that this is meant to give us purpose. It's meant to motivate us, and it's meant to give us confidence in what God's doing for us in our life. But again, we don't always see that in our life. So we don't see the reality of what we only see the worldly reality. We don't see what God wants us to see in our life.
Well, today, try to discipline your children, or if a teacher tries to discipline, they'll throw them in jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Used to be when I was growing up, if you got punished at school, well, you're going to get punished
at home too. That's right. So a lot of this that Paul writes about here, and a lot of what you see, you can go back and find it in the Old Testament. So if you go back into Proverbs chapter 3, we always talk about the verses about trusting in the Lord. But if you go down below that just a little bit, he says in 11 and 12, he says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." So you can see what Paul was teaching in Hebrews. He got it. He learned it from studying and reading back in some of these passages in the Old Testament when God was trying to teach the children of Israel. So it's a sign of the divineness of God. It's meant to encourage us to accept these things and accept them in a way that it allows us to grow or guide us deeper into our relationship with God. So it's an experience that it's beneficial to us. Not, we don't always look at it as a beneficial experience, but it's beneficial to having a peace of mind, so we aren't sitting around worrying all the time. How many times have you heard over the last 2 or 3 weeks of people, and this weather, you know, they say winter is the hardest time on people, but people of having panic attacks and anxiety attacks and different things of that nature, and that's because we don't see the benefit of what God's doing in our life. We don't see it beneficial to our peace of mind. All we see is it's eating at our peace of mind.
And that could be God testing us.
Sure. So he's trying to give us strength through it. We're allowing it to tear us down because we're not turning to him. So, and that would take you back up to verses 5 and 6 in chapter 3 of Proverbs, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. in all our ways acknowledge him. He shall direct our paths. So this is what we should be doing. This is not what we are always doing. But yet we're pretty quick to quote those verses. We're just not real quick to live by them. Okay, let's jump on down to a couple more verses, starting with verse 9. They give you so many verses here in these. They need to narrow this down to two or three or four verses and then break it up maybe. But for furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. So you understand what that means, that we're given reverence to the world, but we're not given reverence to God. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, or of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, and live? So he says, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but God does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So he says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, and we've been talking about that, but it seems to be grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So once we understand it, then we see that it was meant for our good and not to tear us down. So everything, every discipline from God has a purposeful meaning or a purposeful action to it, and it's designed to benefit us because he wants us to share in the things that he has in store for us in our life. So God will never give us anything that is based upon anything in the world, meaning anything that is temporary, anything that has limited knowledge, anything that plays upon our worldly emotions, because everything that comes from God comes from the divine wisdom of God, and it has an eternal value or an eternal benefit to it.
Just like we're taught in school, that's what he's doing.
Right.
So we'll have an eternal life with him.
Yeah, so everything that God does for us, it has a lasting purpose. There's a lasting purpose in it, and it's all preparing us for not only as we continue to live our life here upon this earth, but it's preparing us for our eternal life with him as well. Most people don't look to see that we're being prepared for our eternal life as well. They're just trying to maintain and get through this life here upon this earth.
And you hear people say that, oh, if I can just make it through here, I'll spend eternity with God, which is true, but don't you want to do something while you're here?
Yeah, wouldn't you rather experience here than have to wait, or think you have to wait? That would be my thing. Why not enjoy it now and then enjoy it more
when you get there?
So, but yeah, it's just hard to understand, you know. But again, when we allow the worldliness to play upon our emotions and take away our peace of mind, then we can get into these places in our life where these things happen and take control. So in Psalm, the 94th Psalm, verse 12, he says, blessed is the man whom the Lord chastens, and through that chastening he teaches them out of his law, meaning out of the word of God. So discipline from God is a blessing from God. And we learn faithfulness through this process, but only if we learn it through his word. So most people, when they're disciplined, just like the little example of being in the hospital a few days and, give me everything, give me my computer, give me my phone, give me this, my tablet, give me this, don't give me my Bible. So we anything, we must learn to look more to God's word, not look at God's word less, because this is where our wisdom and our knowledge and our understanding is going to come through the word of God. This is what prepares us and ensures us of what God is doing for us in our life. This is where we get our leadership and our guidance from. But yet, it's the one thing that we turn away from mostly when things happen in our life.
They probably get better a lot faster.
Well, you would, because it would change your focus or your mindset. So, and that's what God's trying to do for us, is change that in our life. But I don't know if it's we don't want to change, we can't comprehend the change, or we don't think we need to change. But if it's something God's doing for us in our life, then we need it. So in verse 12, he says, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble in you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person," and it gives you an example, "as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, then he was rejected, because there was no repentance. There was no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." So,
even though he sought it with tears, his heart was just so hardened.
Yeah, he didn't. When it said he was rejected because he found no place of repentance, that's because he wasn't seeking repentance. He was only feeling sorry for himself for what he'd done. And a lot of people, that's the way a lot of people in their life are. They feel sorry for themselves for what they're going through, but they still don't seek God for anything. They just want to sit there and feel sorry for themselves.
Or like a lot of people, they profess to know God and they thank God and say they pray to God. But some people who, it's not right, I'm not judging anybody, but you know that they really down deep, they don't know God.
Right. They don't understand God or understand what God or salvation is in their life.
You know, whatever you sow, you also shall reap.
Yep.
A lot of people, after they sow something, start to reap it. Well, they don't like that. God will forgive them for it, but you may still have to reap your crops.
Yep. You still got to, that's right. You already sowed it, and it's coming to pass, so you're right. So if we're not always on guard, then we're not always going to find ourselves running towards this holiness that's talking about. We're not always going to maintain our spiritual accountability. We're not always going to be consistent in our life in Christ. And we see that a lot in the church today, no consistency. One day somebody's way up here and, oh, look what God's done for me, but any little thing that comes along, now they're way back down here and not even looking for God to help them. They're just in their own little world of self-indulgence and self-pity. So,
or the breakups of all the churches.
Huh?
I said, or the breakups.
Yes,
of all the churches.
Yeah. So once you start, God encourages to hold true to those values no matter what. And we can only do that if we continue to pursue our relationship with Him. Anytime that you stop pursuing that relationship with Him, then that gives Satan a chance to bring worldliness into our life and all these things begin to overwhelm us and overcome us. The moment that we stop, and some people say, well, I pray every day, or I read my Bible once a day, or that still doesn't mean you're pursuing that relationship with God. That just means you're going through the motions of something that isn't really doing you any good. So that's why the title of your lesson says run towards holiness, meaning you're actively going to put some effort into pursuing that relationship with God. And it's something essential in our life. And the Bible tells us that it's not something that's negotiable. Most people want to negotiate with God. Well, God, if I go to church Sunday morning, well, will you make sure the rest of my week's all okay? It's not a negotiable thing. So,
or these people that says, well, I promise God.
Yeah.
So
we have to pursue after these things in our life. And we can only pursue after them if we follow the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because that's what's maintaining, keeping us away from that temptation of sin that's always there. So, and that's what's going to give us a peace of mind. That's what's going to help us to walk closer with God. And that's what's going to keep us looking towards that hope of our eternal life with God.
And to do His service here on earth.
Huh?
And to do His service here on earth.
Sure. Oh. So all these lessons point us in the same direction, and that's trying to encourage us to have a closer relationship with God. Now, the more you study Him, the more Satan's going to try to discourage you from that relationship with God. And if we look back over the past few weeks and going forward, a lot of believers' relationship with God will get better when spring comes. So, which shouldn't be the case, but it is. When the time changes and spring gets here, we'll do better.
That cabin fever everybody talks about, it was really meant the time to spend with the Lord.
Yeah, but most people don't. That's where all the, you know, all the people now that have panic attacks and anxiety and depression, and that's where it's coming from. And I don't know how you, other than telling them, you gotta, but when you tell them that, they say, oh, sure, that's easy for you to say.
Just gotta pray for them.
Huh?
Just gotta pray for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all you can do.
I'm good. I know, that's what I thought. A Bible study does too sometimes. Sometimes I think we just sit down and it's every day.
So I was telling Nancy when we went by Pleasant Hill yesterday, I said, there was more people at that baby shower. There's probably twice as many people at that baby shower yesterday than there will be at church this morning. And they all live. Right. I mean, it's the same. It's people right there in the community. So when you think about stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, I always think about stuff like that when I watch ball games or something. How many people I can actually be in church.
But you can make it to stuff. Oh, I felt good enough to go to the baby shower. Well, I don't feel good this morning. We can't make it. So, but that's just something to be that way for people started.
And all this time to start.